So I have Frank Aguirre here with Aguirre Fighting System. He's wearing his shirt. He is my work neighbor, and he owns a gym right here. We sponsor, Revivacel sponsors his fighters, and it's been a really good working relationship. And everybody's afraid of you, Frank.
No.
They see you. How tall are you?
6'2".
6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're like 6'2", looking like you're 8'2".
No. I'm a nice guy. We have a small academy right here in Fontana, next door to Revive the Cell. And it's great. It's great to be here. And I love being here. I love you guys because you guys have been really good for us.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Mm-hmm. I love it. I just love the working relationship because what we do is we treat a lot of sports athletes here, a lot of sports injury, orthopedic type stuff. And we've gotten to treat some of your athletes. And I think it's great. You know, you guys, I was sitting at there yesterday. My daughter does jiu-jitsu at your place now. Mm-hmm. Angela Magana got her signed up while I was here at work. All of a sudden, my daughter shows up. She's like, I need my gi, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, well, she loves it. She's going to go. So I was over there taking her to practice, talking to you. And somebody just came in and said, hey, I got an injury. So I'm sure you see it all the time.
Every day. Yeah. And, one of the things about the stem cells is, like, I tried that. I know the stuff works.
You did it.
Yeah, like my knees were completely shut down, like horrible.
And you're a big guy, so like to regrow knees is very difficult when there's a lot of weight and pressure on those knees.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half then I got the stem cell. I'm like 80% better, 80-90% better. I'm doing everything.
Well, you would have been 100%, but you went back to fighting on the mat.
I don't have time.
How fast did you get back on the mat? Because your trainers were like coming over here saying, I don't know what you did to Franklin, but like you got to stop because he's beating us up on the mat. So how fast were you back rolling on the mat?
I don't want to be...
It was fast.
I don't want people to think, okay, you can get the stuff and you will be good.
Yeah,
But probably a month, not even that.
I know. It was crazy.
It was really crazy, really fast, and I'm doing good.
So that's the cool thing about stem cells. Like, you get it, it fixes you, but it's not like it's a let's fix you and then you're not going to age. Like, your natural stem cells are still the same age, even though the other ones are replicating for a year. So that's what they say, for about a year. Then you actually feel the decline starting to kick in.
Oh, yes.
And you're like, oh my God, I need to get this done again. So because you were able to go back some years and actually get back to on the mats, which you hadn't been fighting on the mats, how long?
You know, the problem is I always teach. I have to teach. I teach like 4 classes a day, 5 classes a day.
Wow.
But I was just teaching. I couldn't roll. I can do. Now I'm inspiring. I'm doing MMA. I'm going back to where I was, probably 10 years ago. And I feel great.
I hear that all the time. 10 years is like, on average, what I hear from our military veterans that are so beat up. I mean, like athletes that it's like really hard cases. They'll say, I feel about 10 years younger. That's like what I hear all the time. And so I think that's pretty cool that she said 10 years right now. Because I didn't give you that number.
No, it is true. Like seriously, like physically, I feel strong. I feel like.
Well, you look strong.
it's great. It's great. Stem cells I think is like a miracle cure, for us, like for athletes, because sometimes you get injured and you think only surgery can fix me. And I already had an MRI and everything to get a surgery in my knees and everything. And that stuff is not gonna happen now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you just, I think, that's definitely the better option, knowing that you can keep injecting your knees and keep regrowing them. The fact that you're still able to go back on the mat. Mm-hmm. I think if you didn't go back on the mat, then your knees would have lasted a lot longer. But, that's the cool thing about it is that people want the 10 years back. So they want to get back to jogging. And I see that quite often, that people go back to doing stuff that they haven't done in a really long time.
Yeah, it's addictive. What we do is so addictive that sometimes we are hurt and we just want to keep doing it. And when that pain goes away, oh my goodness, you get crazy again. You know?
I know. No? I see it all the time. I see some of the guys, yeah, like they get on testosterone and they just like post stem cell therapy. Some of my older patients, and they get on testosterone, they get on maybe HGG, and then that's it. They just are like, oh my God, I'm back a man. And they're just like, you see them dating, you see them getting married. And I'm like, oh my God. I've had a couple of doctors actually post stem cell therapy, leave their wives. And it was the saddest thing. And then they blame me. I'm like, what are you blaming me for? Because you want to go with the younger girl. But really what it was that they lost 10 years. I would say, whatever you do for your wife too. So you guys could be on the same page.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Because it's sad, you know, like I don't want to be doing any of that stuff. No. But you do see these guys get their life back. So they naturally, you know, maybe for instance, my dad, he's a Marine and he was dating for many years. His form of dating was boring. It's like, I'm going to meet you at like Mimi's Cafe or Denny's, mm-hmm. right? Then after post stem celling up, his heart failure went away. His heart fraction went from 15 to 65%. They said that he no longer had heart failure. He worked for Stater Brothers, and Stater Brothers actually sent him back to work. Like the doctor said, you're no longer disabled. He was so upset. He's like, no, I'm enjoying the retired life now. And they're like, no, you got to go back to work, because he was no longer disabled. So he got on testosterone. And then all of a sudden he became like a son to me, because I was working a lot. And all of a sudden he's like sleeping on my couch. She was like in and out. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, I got married. And this girl's like way younger than him. He just went to Vegas. He was on like yachts. And I'm like, what in the hell happened to my dad? And like, he just stopped calling me. And then I'd call him up like, dude, you haven't called me. You've been MIA. And he's like, what? I've been busy. I'm like, what in the hell happened to you? You know? And it's really, he just got the years back of that youth that he hadn't had in so long. Oh, you see people change.
Oh, yes.
Even just on testosterone, people change. I see what testosterone does. What do you want to comment on that?
It's amazing.
Talk about testosterone, because my partner, Dr. Jason, he's got the men's health clinic. You work a lot with him as well, too. I'm sure you refer a lot of the guys. I don't want to deal with the testosterone guys, because you guys are like, I mean, we do it here, but the whole thing is like, I don't want to deal with a bunch of, you know, these guys are like, I need my test. And they'll bug you all day long for, you know, like for them to come in. And I'm like, Jason's like, oh my God, the men's health clinic and these guys. And I started laughing and I'm like, you can have all those patients, because I don't want to be bombarded with all that. But I do know how important it is. And a lot of men out there that don't realize that they're over the hill because they're just hitting 40 or 35 or 38. Maybe also their diet is not as good. And so they're eating more stuff that has estrogen in it. So you're seeing that like more and more men are having higher estrogen levels. They don't realize it. And so I think it's very important that they get their testosterone levels checked. And so they can start to supplement in what they're losing, because I don't feel like they realize it.
I remember when I met Jason and he came to the gym and he said, hey, are you in test? And I said, no, I don't need that. He said, how do you know? I said, because I feel good. And then he said, let's try it. He said, you should be doing it for a while already. And I say, okay. And then I went to his clinic. Jason is amazing. Like, yeah, this guy is great. And I started using, like, you know, once a week.
You were doing injection?
Yes. Yeah. And one day I was, it was post stem cells. And one day I was training with one of my coaches, and he's super tough. He's almost a black belt right now. He's a solid brown belt. And I am running with him, and I feel like he's being lazy. And I am like, dude, let's grapple. You know, like, I don't want to be here just... And he said, coach, I'm doing everything I can. He said, I feel like you're going to break my body. Like, and I was like, not even going hard, but it changed. Like, seriously, you became a freaking superhuman, like, with that stuff.
So do you feel, is it comparable to a young version of you? Like a, you know, 18-year-old version, a 20-year-old version? Like, how would you describe it? Because I'm not a man. I could never say what it feels like. I could say what it feels like to have high testosterone as a woman, but...
Okay. To put it the best way is, like, I train with a lot of guys, like, fighters and, you know, we are going to talk about the police in a little bit. But with guys in their 30s, late 20s, and then they are really good. And I have no problem with any of them. Like, seriously, I can walk through people. Like, and
I mean, but you're really big. So are you sizing up with the same weight classes?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I have guys with the same size of me and stuff like that. And they're the late 20s, early 30s.
And they can barely... And this is not technique that you're talking about. This is straight strength.
It both. And it's hard for me to say, you know, how much is technique and how much is strength, because I have been doing grappling for...
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you're really good at what you do.
30 years.
You train like the best. So. Yeah.
And then it's a mix of both. But I was struggling a lot because my injuries and everything, you know, and...
I seen you. You could barely walk.
Yeah, it was bad.
You were always in bad sandals, yeah. And you could barely walk.
It was really bad. But now I'm telling you, I just spar on Saturday for an hour with all the fighters and feel
That's
great.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think I think because men's testosterone levels are starting to show a trend that they're going down sooner than versus later. And I think that contributes to the water system and our food system and what we're being subjected to, right? So you're starting to see younger and younger men that have higher estrogen levels and women as well, you know? And I think a lot of women don't understand that, too. You need to have healthy levels as well, too, with testosterone. I tried it. I started trying it, like I had talked to you about it. Mm-hmm. And then I got off of it because I want it to be consistent, and I want to know what my levels are, and I want to do it correct. And so I got on it, I felt it, and I said, okay, I know that I want it.
But you're getting some muscles, too. I saw that.
Yeah, I was flexing the other day at your office. I am. Yeah, I cycle. I was telling you that I cycle right now 2 times a week. Before I was doing a little bit more, but right now I'm doing a transition with work and trying to find my work in balance. But I do plan on going back to at least four times a week. I love it. You cycle next door. How often do you cycle?
You know, that is another thing. Like, when my knees were messed up, I couldn't ride the bike. I'm doing 20 miles a day, 5 days a week.
You're seriously. A beast, Frank. No, oh my God.
I do it like right before my class, like the jiu-jitsu class at 6 p.m. and 5 p.m. And it take me an hour.
You know, and I will tell you, I know your wife. She's so lovely. Mm-hmm. And when I seen you go through this change, she also went through a change with you.
Yeah.
She looks beautiful. She lost so much weight.
Yeah, she lost a lot of weight.
Like, I seen her and I was like, oh my God. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the beauty of relationships. When one person gets healthy, the other person tends to mock and goes along with it. And I think that's really awesome that that was influenced on her, because at her age, later in age, how old are you?
You would be surprised. How old do you think I am?
I don't even know. I don't even want to guess, because I know it's so far off.
Far off, probably. I'm 60.
Yeah, you look like you're in your like.
I will be 60 50s. In about 3 months. Yes, yes.
I mean, like when I say 50s, like maybe 51.
I would be 60 in a couple of months, 2-3 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but for me to be doing what I do.
You look great. You look great. And I hope it inspires people to really just know that later in age, you can get your life back, your quality of life.
You know, then I don't lift heavyweight because for grappling, it's not that good.
And you got a lot of muscle.
But I do reps, a lot of reps with light weights. And in the mornings, in the afternoon, I do it with some of the fighters. We do 1,500 reps, so stuff like that, like 3 or 4 days a week. And none of the guys can do as many as I can, you know. And I am, like I say, 60.
Do you talk to your fighters about getting on tests?
Yes. No. The problem is, like, the commission, you know. Like, the other day I mentioned to you, then I say I want to talk to you about one of the fighters. This kid got shot in his groin.
Oh my God.
This is crazy. Huh?
I got to ask, who shot him? I got like a knot in my throat when you said that.
It shot the door, went through him, through his friend, and got out of the door.
So it was a freak accident.
No, the bullet.
Yeah, but it was a freak accident. It wasn't like somebody pointed the gun and shot at his groin.
No, he did. He shot him through the door in the street.
Oh, wow.
And it went through his groin. Now, I don't know anything about this kind of stuff, but if you are missing a testicle, is that a problem for your testosterone levels?
I'd say absolutely.
Then?
Because that's where your testosterone production occurs.
Then we need to talk about that. Yeah. Because this kid is a fighter. And if it's something that medically we can do legally, you know, that would be great because he's phenomenal.
But I was saying, when you supplement, your natural production ceases. And then that's why it's so important to know your levels where you're at and then to make sure that the dosing is correct for you and your body weight and all that. Because when you start to supplement, your body stops producing. And then now you're now supplementing the new dosing. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't need his testicle to do it anymore, right? Mm-hmm. He can actually supplement with it.
Okay, because it will be interesting to see if we can.
What his levels are. It's interesting to see what his levels are, actually.
Yeah, because he's a good fighter. And
you have so many good stories, you know, and so many people that you help, Frank. Like, I just honestly, you're one of my favorite people in the world.
Thank you.
I swear, because I'm a humanitarian. You know, I love people. I try to help whoever. I mean, I see homeless people. I talk to them. It's not like just handing the money. It's like, how'd you get here? You know, and so really, I do understand that as a humanity, spiritually, we're a collective. And so you want to try to help as much of humanity as possible because it's like you're helping yourself. And you've done a great job in the community. You guys train the police department, and you also find the thin and fine perfect balance to also help the children that are running the streets that are getting into trouble. And we've had that discussion, how you've really just put yourself on the line to help on both sides, and actually to kind of blur the line, because some of the cops have ran into some troubled kids on the street that are actually training at your facility. I mean, you've really saved some people in other ways that you typically don't see.
You know, if you just want to have a mixed martial arts gym, you can have it. Anybody can. But when you have a mixed martial arts gym, why should I sign up in your academy if it's probably 10 different academies around here? Give me a good reason why should I sign up with you and not with some other gym. And that is exactly the reason why we opened the academy. Because you want to learn martial arts? Oh, it's a lot of places. Do you want to help people? Very few. Very few people. Very few academies. Because for me, mixed martial arts is something special. But I'm a Christian, and I want to help people. And I have been blessed with that. You know, like God put some people that really need help. When you have the ability to transform the way of thinking of these people, it's amazing.
Changing perspectives is very important.
Because, you know, let me tell you a story about a kid. Like, probably 10 years ago, the captain of the Fontana PD called me and he said, "Hey, coach, I have this kid here. He's 15, 16-year-old, and mom is about to give up because she can't handle him. She's a single mom. And the schools just kicked him out because he just liked to fight.
Nobody wanted him."
Yeah. Then I said, "Hey, just send him. We deal with him." And about an hour later, this lady showed up with this kid right there. And I totally forgot about the conversation. And they walk in, and mom just say, "Hey, I am so-and-so." Ah, and then I look behind the computer where the kid was, and I say, "Then you're the one with the little problem." And he say, "I don't have any problems." They say, hey, seems to me like you really do. That's why you're here. What happened? He say, I just like to fight. I say, really? That's good. I say, let's make a deal. I say, this is really good for you. He say, come here. They're going to pay for everything. And sign up. And whenever you feel like you want to get punched in your ugly face, I will do it for you. And look at what this flipping kid says. This is a 15-year-old kid, like 120 pounds, 130. Yeah. Okay, let's do it. Let's sign up.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. And I am like, we sign up the kid. And after a few times grappling with us and doing, he starts seeing that this was more than just fighting, because people were beating the snot out of him and then hug him, you know, like.
Yeah.
And
about, there's a respect.
Yeah. You know, long story short, about 6 months later, he came and he said, hey, coach, I am going to train just 2 days a week. And he said, why is that, dude? Don't get disconnected. Like, he said, no, coach, I'm going back to school. I say, that's great, dude. Let's do it. Let's do it. I say, please, just camp those 2 days. He say, I will be here. He keep going to school and training, And about 6 months later, he say, coach, I have good news and bad news. I say, what happened? I got to quit coming here. And I say, why is that? He say, I got a full-time job. Now I'm going to school and I got my job and I can make it. I say, dude, he say, don't even worry about it. I will never do what I was doing. I will never go back to where I was at. This kid just disappeared completely. This was like 10 years ago. About 7 months ago, he showed up at my gym with a beautiful wife and his 7-year-old kid, 6-year-old, something like that. And he say, do you remember me? I say, I will never forget that ugly face. And he say, you have no idea what this place did for me. I am the person I am today because what happened 10 years ago in this place. And I want that my kid grow up here. And I want my kid to experience what I experienced for a few years. And right now, his kid is training with us for about a year, doing really good.
Wow.
And guess what? He's signed up back with us, and he's training father and son.
Oh, my God, that's so amazing. That story gives me chills because as a mom, Franklin, with my my little one, Heaven, she's 6, she'll be 7. She is a handful. I had a homeschooler because the school could not handle her. And I realized, okay, she doesn't live the traditional life that most kids have because she sees me in the office and she sees me with a lot of like employees and workers. And so she's got a strong personality. All my kids are like little bosses walking around, you know, with strong personalities. And so when Angela was here, she's seen it right away. She said, you got to put this kid in. She's roughhousing. She's fighting. She would just throw a sock. Like I would be scolding her and all of a sudden I turn around and it was boom. And I'm like, did your little fist just hit me? And it was like, she's like, yeah, because I'm mad. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. Nobody's going to be able to handle this little girl. So I could put her in her place as her mom, but they would have to call me up. And a matter of fact, I even took her to the police station. I would always do this with my kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you guys need to scare my kid because she needs to know that there is, like, when I get a phone call from the nanny that she's not listening or from the teacher or whoever it is, that there is going to be some type of repercussion. So I told her, and then she tested it, and the nanny said, I'm going to call. Even the nanny got scared. Everybody was like, oh, shoot, no, don't really take her to the cops. And I was like, oh, no, she's going to the cops. And then I walked in, and I stopped what I was doing. And she knows that, like, I'm working. But when I got that call, I dropped everything. I went home. I don't live far from here. So I ran home, and I opened the door, and it was like the cop voice came out of me. I was like, get your shit and get in the car now. And she's like, oh, my God. And she's in the nanny's doing pigtails. And I said, no, leave her hair down. I don't care if she has one side up. Get your ass in the car now. I said, when I have to leave work, and I said, you're in big trouble. And I said, this is the last time you test me. Get your ass in the car. She got in the car. She cried. And I said, no, you can't cry. I said, you wanted to act like a big girl.
Yep.
And I said, so now you got to take it. And I said, this is where all the bad kids go. And I said, and if you don't want to listen to your mom, then you're going to have to go with the bad kids. Oh my God, mommy, no. You know, and I was like, it was a tough lesson. Angela's in the front. And Angela's like, you know, we don't have to be this mean to her. We don't, you know, it's okay. And I said, nope, this is what works. Yeah. And I said, and this is what, I'm really tough on my kids. And so I took her in. Well, first I went in and I told them, hey, I need you to scare my daughter straight. Take her in the back, you know, make her think that she's going to get arrested if she doesn't listen. I said, hand me your card after so she knows. I'm going to put it on the fridge. So she knows that, hey, if she doesn't listen, I'm going to call. And it's not for anything. It's like for big stuff. Like, and it was mainly fighting. She always wanted to fight. And she was so aggressive. And she's half Nicaraguan. And so she's got this energy. She's like from the Amazon and that blood, you know. And it's like, they got to be outside. They got to jump around. Her dad's like, I understand. She just got to get out. And I'm like, I understand. But like, you know, she's got to understand that on a rainy day, she can't do that. So there's a level of frustration and you could just see it in her. So Angela's like, This is what she needs. She needs martial arts. And so I'm like, okay. So she went, she tried it. She actually did a boxing with you guys. And then she did a jiu-jitsu. And, for as much as she punches, I thought she was going to love boxing. We were all like, okay, we are well connected in the boxing community. You want to box, go ahead and box, you know? No, she was like, nope, I don't want to box. She loves jiu-jitsu. And she came home that day. She's like, I'm a jiu-jitsu girl. I'm a jiu-jitsu. And you should hear her in the car. She says, I'm a champ. I'm a champ. And she starts looking at people. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a little Ronda Rousey. What in the heck? And so all of a sudden I come home, Angela and her, she's like teaching her hand placement and teaching her how to do triangle. She's like, pull more. And my mom thought like, oh, it's so cute. She's doing jiu-jitsu. And my mom's like, you can't choke me out. This is grandma. Okay. Yeah. Keep in mind, grandma. She jumped on the couch, hopped off, went on her back, choked her out and pulled her back. And my mom's like, on the back of the couch in my crap. You know, Papa's like, oh my God, no, no, you know, and she's like, tap, tap. And I said, only on the mat. Only on the mat. And so it's beautiful because the kids do so well with they're not necessarily problem children, you know, and she came off very problematic. But now that she's doing that, she understands where to take that out. And where and actually it teaches respect of when to fight, when not to fight.
Yeah, that's one of the best things. Like, you know, they learn that they don't need to prove anything. You know, the confidence level go up and it's great. This is for me. I play soccer pretty much to the pro levels in Costa Rica, and I have been involved in a lot of different sports. There is nothing like this. There is absolutely nothing. Then build you as a good person, as a responsible person, like, you know, mixed martial arts. You hear people saying, oh, jiu-jitsu saved my life. And there is a lot of people that really got saved by this thing. I have stories of people like seriously, like bad guys, like horrible persons, like these people. And you don't know how bad these guys were until they see it and tell you how their life was before they start doing this. Oof. I have some members in the gym that seriously, they were going to prison for life.
Wow.
For life. And, you know, we rescued them. And they are doing good. They are married with kids and everything. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's a life-changing experience. Once you put a foot in that mat, you are not the same person again. It's great.
Well, I think like that's something that we had talked about is like partnering, because I do feel like the sports community and then what we do at the Stem Cell Institute in general, as far as health and wellness goes, it's not just stem cells. Like we truly teach what health is, and you're not healthy unless your pH is 7.35, your liver's detoxed out, all the organs are detoxed out. You don't have parasites, your blood's clean, right? And those things are not as expensive as stem cells. This is stuff that the average person can can pay for. Some of the stuff's even free, the information, like the liver detox is completely free. You do it at home with Epsom salt and olive oil and fruit. And those things can really save your life to put you in a healing environment. And so, you know, pairing it together, we've taken on a lot of athletes where they think they're healthy because they think that they're eating correctly, or they think that they're hydrated, or they think whatever it may be. Something as simple as like an athlete saying, I drink so much water and I'm so dehydrated. And they don't realize that they have like dormant E. coli in their urinary tract that is constantly dehydrating them. Right. And it's like those other things are needed. And so we really want to reach out to the community and give out that free information that is so life changing. You know, Jojo Diaz is a great example. Like this guy was a world champ. He thought he knew what health was. Then I'm like, I want you to try this, 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 this. And he'll sit there and tell me, he said, well, he now has God very strong in his life. It's the center of his life. And so there's no success without that first off, period. Hands down, period. It has to be your foundation, or whatever foundation you're building up is going to keep falling. And so whatever you call God, you know, or whatever name, he's a God of many names. He's the creator. And so you really see how he's put your foundation. And then you realize that the people he's put in your life, that you use for his purposes.
Yeah. You know,
and you love it.
Yes.
And I love it. And if we truly believe that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is left inside of all of us,
amen,
then it's a very powerful source. So when I really realized how powerful the spirit was when I stopped asking when I prayed. Okay. Mm. And I started declaring. So when I say, now when I see patients and I pray over them, I no longer say, God, please do this for this person. When I lay hands on somebody, I say, God, by the power that has been invested inside me, this power that you gave me through you and in you, I declare this person healed. So I declare more than I now ask for. And then I am very thankful with him for the relationship that he's brought me to. And I will tell you, like, my relationship with him completely changed because he left us with a dominion. And a lot of people don't realize that they need to start declaring more good things over their life, that the tongue is so powerful. They need to stop looking in the mirror and saying negative things to themselves.
Oh, yes.
Because it is mind, body, spirit. Yeah. And when we treat some of these diseases, we realize that it came from a spiritual state or from a mental state, because that's what's left at the end and they can't get over it. And then that's where the ketamine starts coming in. That's where the NAD starts coming in and the counseling starts coming in, because the conscious is still the subconscious that stored everything, all the bad trauma that maybe you don't even remember, mm-hmm. or the brain has closed off. It's still hurting that person. And so it can absolutely make you sick. You know, stress in general causes more stomach acid.
You know, going back to what you say, declaring things is like, you learn how to be obedient when there is nothing the medicine can do for you. And the only thing you have is God. The only thing, like, you know, I always tell people, like, I pray for God to help people and heal people. But at the end of that prayer, I say, hey, your will be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because sometimes we don't think about that person. Like, what are they going through? The pain that they're going through. I learned that with my mother. You know, I went and I remember telling the doctor, hey, dude, you got to do something. My mom is, and he say, you don't understand. We are just trying to keep your mom out of pain. Yeah. My heart just like, and I say, what do you mean? He say, there's nothing we can do for her. And for 5 years, I was praying that God healed this lady that was in pain every day. Now, years later, I know in my heart that God loves her so much that he decided to take her.
Yeah, it was his will.
Yeah. And I know I'm going to see her again. That is the good thing. Yeah. That is the hope that we have.
Well, that's the hope of like when you, for instance, for me, I mean, a lot of people don't realize, like, they see a beautiful woman. They see just all the fun things that I post. Mm-hmm. I try not to post too much of what I deal with, you know, but it is extremely hard. I mean, we're doing cancer research and we don't get to save everybody. Yep. And then you see, you know, I was talking to somebody about this just recently. You see when God's hand comes in and it's like, step aside, because this is her time. And people just in general have such a hard time with death, but it's part of the birth, is that we all are going to die. But when you have your spiritual side and you know that you're made eternal and you know that death is not really death, then you look at it much differently, because you know that that person is really not dead.
We need to know that this life is too short. You know, like, just think about, my dad used to say, you know, I remember when I was playing with my siblings and I was a kid, he'd say, now I'm 90 years old. My dad passed almost 100 years old. And I always think he was still strong. Why is he going so early? No, this guy was 100 years old, which is like, and I just think, like, we need to know that there is something special waiting for us out there. You know, there is something, like, I always tell people, I believe that Jesus paid for my sin. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can do a fire but by me. I believe that. And I believe that the day that this heart stops, I'm going to be in the presence of God. You know, John 14 say that. Yeah. John 14 say, you know, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And I am coming when it's the time to take you with me. And then that's my faith. And going back to you know, like, opening the gym and everything during the, I never stop my classes in the morning before I read my Bible. That is my number one thing.
So you start 6 in the morning, mm-hmm. you read your Bible until 7, mm-hmm. and then 7 o'clock classes start, and then you're there all day long. I mean, some days I have late days, and I maybe here and there will leave like 7, 8, or go pick up the kids, and then I come back and I'm doing, like, because I have to travel and I have to get gear ready or whatever. And so I come back and you guys are there till like
almost 10 o'clock
every single day. Yes. And this is a perfect example of, because if it was truly work, you would get burnout. It's not work when you are doing what you love.
That's what I
tell. It's like your second home.
Going back to the police, we have such a great relationship with the city of Fontana. Like, these guys are amazing, and they give us the opportunity to be the you know, like, the survival tactic instructors.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, and they are, like, so grateful for what is happening. You know, like, we have about 110 cops from Fontana training with us. And actually, this coming February 1st, we are going to have the SWAT.
Nice.
Training in the morning from 7 to around 9 in the morning.
That's so cool.
And it's so good because, you know, you see just movies about SWAT and everything. Now we are helping these guys getting better. And
so you have Jay next door, which is one of your trainers there. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about doing classes to actually help with I was talking to him about defensive classes that specifically were done at the shooting range, because I feel like those two go, I mean, being paramilitary, that's what we do, right? Like, we did Krav Maga, jiu-jitsu. I learned very little, but what I did learn really helped me. And I felt like you needed to learn to fight also when there's a gun involved.
Oh, yes.
And so we were actually talking about that. He wants to actually build classes and all that stuff. He's got such great ideas of how, like, he wants to grow you. He's just so part of your family. Like,
you know, one of the things about Aguirre's fighting system is, like, if you think that Jim is there because of me, you're mistaken, because these guys are amazing. Like, loyalty is something special. Like, and it's hard to find. We were talking a little bit ago about that. And I have the best team that you can have in that gym. I have Jay. I have Danny Martinez. I have Coach Kenny, Coach Charlie, Coach Art, Coach Coach Francisco, all these guys are like just like it's they are family.
You know, I think it's an important example of when you build something, the people that are working with you and alongside you have to feel like they're part of the team or they're part of the mission. And so it's important, like for me in building the nonprofit, in that people have similar stories and they can relate. And if, for instance, like cancer patients, like one of the main nurses I have that's treating cancer patients, I have two. I have one ER nurse. She works oncology. So she can understand oncology patients, right, when they come. I have another one that lost her husband specifically to cancer. So she can relate to a family that is losing a family, you know, family member. And we do what we can, but obviously there's never guarantees in life. And so we all know that we're going to pass on, right? Mm-hmm. But like those cases are very hard for me. And it's like, you don't count how many patients you've saved. You don't. And I, you know, talk about like needing time. Like I just went on a week long vacation with all the kids, my boyfriend and his kids. So it was like, we have like eight together. It's like the Brady Bunch family, you know, his kids are like adults and then one that's 10. So it's mainly my kids, but like, I love big family. I come from big family. Mm-hmm. He comes from big family. So it was amazing. We were so excited and we took them all skiing and everything. But then I came back and I was like, I need a vacation from the vacation.
Yeah.
And then we talk about this with Jason all the time. It's like, we work, and then all of a sudden we get fatigued, and it's like mentally fatigued, and then you realize everything you're dealing with, and you're like, how do I still get through it? How do you get the text message from, for instance, this last case that we did, we were doing amazing on this cancer case, and she had some different tubes in for urinary and colon, and the tubes that were in her back, they were like slipping out from the inside. That's not something we can do, you know, here in clinic. Even if you bring a specialist, like you need a special imaging and all that stuff. So Jason's head of surgery at a hospital, like that's not even something he would touch, right? Like it's one thing to flush a line, but it's another thing to like physically make sure that it's in place. And if you see urine coming out, obviously you got to send them to the hospital. Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't have the funds at the time, which we now are setting that up. And those funds have been guaranteed to do that form of research, because I don't want to take those patients. Then I have to hand those patients over to the hospital system. And then the hospital system says, terminal cancer case, let's just morphine. They'll give them morphine. They'll give them fentanyl patches. They give them Propofol, like all kinds of stuff. And they just figure quality of life is so that they don't feel any pain. And that patient in 2 days went from 3 liters of oxygen, needing 8 liters of oxygen, and just never opened her eyes. And that's somebody that can maybe have gotten TPN, some TPN which is nutrients in a bag. So you feed them by IV if they're not able to eat on their own. I've just seen patients, you know, do amazing. But that was God's will. And I will tell you, in the side of research where I'm like, you know, I can easily talk to God and just all the time I do. And I'm like, why do you give me these cases? Why? I don't want to keep going through this. I'm not emotional about it anymore. I understand, like, she's in a much better place. Like, I get it. But, like, not all the family members understand that. And maybe some people that are part of cancer foundations, they don't understand that, because it's a very, very sensitive topic when you're treating cancer. And I know that I was made for it, being a cancer patient and survivor myself. And I love all the patients that constantly are like, oh my God, you gave me my life back. You know, like you just, your program, you know, like you cured my cancer, you know? And it's like, nobody wants to come out and say that, but it was holistically done. It was done through the research center, and these people are considered in remission. And I will tell you, I just got the permission to actually bring one of those patients that was cured back on the podcast.
Oh, but that's great.
It was like high level, you know, because of who she's related to, it was like, we can never talk about it. I was totally fine. There's so many famous people that we treat that we don't talk about, but it's not about the fame. It's about like, oh, I'll take this case all day long, you know? And so with that specific case that we just lost this woman, you know, you get the text message from the husband, and it's, it's like, hey, I lost my wife. She never made it out of the hospital. It's hard, you know. It's a hard one to have to still sit and eat dinner with your kids because they don't know, and you don't want to have the conversation with them to the full extent. They do know what I do for a living, but what I manage. But they just, it's not until the older ones I will let know, because the older ones will try to throw little fits about like, oh my God, I got to go get highlighters from Target, you know, and and the glitter because I'm going to make a banner for my boyfriend. And I'm like, and then they're like, Mom, it's been 2 days. You haven't taken me. I'm like, do you know what I do for a living? You know, and then every now and then it'll slip out and it'll be like, you know, I'm just dealing with a family that just lost, you know, their wife or their mother, you know, and I'm trying to do the correct paperwork that is needed at this time. So if you can please be patient with me. And then she's just like, sorry about that. You know, yeah. Like there's the perspective changes and they realize it, but they've been so compensative. And I don't want the conversation when I get home to just be like, you know, most people get to leave work at work. So I don't want it to be like I get home and it's like a constant Debbie Downer of what I do for a living. So I've just learned to kind of numb it out. And this is what I do for a living, and to count my blessings and to be like, hey, we're doing more good than bad. But in that specific situation, when I talked to God about it, it was like, I learned in that moment that we could no longer if we're working with molecular science and we're doing the research correctly, we have to, and we're taking those end stage patients, we have to have the tools and we have to have the funds in order to take them. Meaning,
yeah,
they need 24-hour care. That means they need to be an inpatient. That means that I now need to invest in a hospital, you know? And it's like, okay, God, if this is what it is, then I just won't take those patients. And if you want me to take those patients, then you're going to have to give me the funds. One of the girls that had got, is now in remission. She's like, hey, I didn't tell you, but you know, this is what I do for a living. I handle cancer research funds. I'm the person who distributes them. And I'm like, and you're barely telling me this now. And I never questioned it. Right. And I never questioned it. I never asked, like, because it's all donated. They don't pay. Cancer patients don't pay. And so I never bothered to ask her, like, what do you do? I didn't pry. So that's what she did. And she's like, I'm going to make sure that the funds get into the right place. She comes back again and she's like, hey, by the way, you know, I met with my friend. She's one of the people that handles multiple funders, a group of funders in the world. And I'm not going to say names, but yeah. They are some of the biggest people well-known. If I say the name, everybody knows who it is. And they're like, and they knew how sick I was because I couldn't travel with them. This is her talking. And so she's like, all of a sudden I started responding again. She's seen me come back to life because this person was vomiting up blood every day. They were end stage. It was coming out of their pores everywhere. It was already all over the place. So to get the results, I mean, she was a much younger person. This is somebody that's in their, you know, late 20s, 30s. And she recovered very, very fast. You're talking about end stage, less than 6 months. Less than 6 months.
That is crazy.
Crazy. And so, but when they say end stage, you know, every doctor is going to say at what point you can't chemo anymore. They have no more treatment options for you because you wouldn't make it, then they're going to consider you end stage, go home and just take some pain pills and then hospice yeah. or home health yeah. or will come in. And they're pretty good programs, but their job when you're on hospice or home health is to just medicate for your end of life quality yep. of care, mm-hmm. which is no pain. So they put you on pain meds and you get to go home and die peacefully with your family. Those cases we've taken and I don't like taking them because I'm like, why couldn't you just came to me, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, these people have been battling for years, but it's not like we can market what we're doing because it's research. Basically we can collect for trial purposes, but it's not like we can go out and say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. We can market maybe like a ozone therapy or, you know, detox programs, but people don't know what that consists yeah. of or what that does. We can't really send out ads and stuff. And so it makes it really hard. So people just, they'll reach out and they'll say, hey, stem cells, does that cure cancer? And it's like, no, it does not cure cancer. It's not how it works. you're born with stem cells. You grow old with them. They're your age. So I'll be 40 this coming March. My stem cells are 40 years old.
Yeah.
So naturally, you know, there's a decline. The body is set genetically to just start to decline. The telomeres start to shorten on the DNA. The caps of them start to get shorter. And that's what you felt, which is you're saying, like, I got 10 years back because stem cells will naturally lengthen them and repair the DNA structure, but then the natural aging process kicks in genetically to go back. That's why you feel the decline again. And that's why it's not going to be lasting forever, right? I mean, we got to get old at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
And everything. And it's not just like, oh, well, let's just get young in this area. Like, there is so much genetic instruction on when testosterone is to stop producing, when melatonin will stop producing, when, you know, your NAD naturally in your cells stops producing. So, and genetically, we're all built differently, but pretty much those are preset as far as when there's a decline. And I would say, like, after 35, man, you're like, you're on a time limit to die. I mean, that's what it is. You're slowly dying. And so my boyfriend will say, like, my God, like, say you live, you know, 70 years, 80 years. That's like a typical lifespan. Like, I'm halfway through that. I'm gonna really enjoy my last years of my life, you know? And that's what people really need to think about, is that the time doesn't stop clicking.
One of the things is, like, I think we talked about this a couple of days ago in the gym, and is we need to do something. We need to put this facility where people can, you know, get everything they need.
Like, all in one place.
You know, I talked to you and Jason about that, and not just that. You know what is in Costa Rica, too, you know, like, mm-hmm. like. We have.
Let's talk about that. Well, circling back, yes, we're definitely going to be doing that. And, you know, that is going to happen. We are going to work on doing that. I mean, like, even if we have to, like, purchase these buildings and put a big door between your place and my place, we'll figure it out. But, yeah, we definitely have to create that. And I think a lot more sports institutes are starting to actually have like physical therapy, chiropractic, you know, cold dunk tanks, saunas, everything that consists of health and wellness and martial arts and encompassing all sports. That's the goal for us. And that's what we're going to be doing. One of the other topics that I wanted to talk about was water. I am like crazy when it comes to water. I'm all about spring water. There was an FDA paper that was published, like a study that the FDA talked about, and it was specifically on them monitoring low levels of COVID in our water system. That was published through the FDA, so you can look it up. And we're talking about, like, how long does it take to, like, filter, you know, and purify shit water to the point that where it's like drinking water. Recycled water. Purified water is pretty much shit water, for those of you guys that don't know. And they recycle it. It goes through a process and, you know, sediment, and like, it's years. It's like 5-6 years or something crazy like that. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but it's for sure more than 3 years. And so how did COVID get into the water system so early on? So we don't know, but we know that it's there, and the FDA, you know, already came out seeing that it was there. So that's why so many people were so constantly sick, because they had so much inflammation going through their body. You're 98% water. Like, you need good water, healthy water, you know, and you don't want it with heavy metals and all this stuff. So we switched everything here in the clinic. I tell all the patients, get on spring water, and it made a difference. Even within my own kids, like, they got on that, and they got on melatonin, which also helps with inflammation. It has a lot of health factors besides just you going to sleep. Like, a lot of people think it's just, oh, I don't want to give my kids this to going to sleep. But there's a lot of other health benefits. My kids stopped getting sick when they got on melatonin. Talking about even the babies were doing the little drops of melatonin because they needed it, because you're getting sick every 3 weeks. You know, post-COVID is like all these new strands and stuff coming out. I'm like, I'm tired of it. So when I did the research on that, that's what we did. It worked. And you have a really good water source, because you just purchased land out in Costa Rica, right?
Yes. Well, I have a property that is next to a national park. Then there is a protective area, like, I don't know, a couple of thousands hectares, like 5,000 acres. 10,000
Oh, my God. 10,000 acres.
Yeah, and that water came from there. I have a little property right there at the end of that, and all the water came through my property. Then
it's like a waterfall goes into like a river. Yes. Or,
no, it's like if you go to my house, 1/2 mile away, the water came out of the ground. Totally clear.
It's like a natural spring or something?
Yes. But that is not the one that we use because I don't have city water in my property in Costa Rica.
Oh, it's just
I have
like,
my own water.
It's like well?
Yes. Oh, no, nice. I have this mountain next to that national park, and it's a big rock. And the water
You don't filter it like nothing?
We don't have to.
Oh, my
I
God.
Make a study, and it's pure.
I want to see the study. You talked to me about it last year.
I got to give it seriously. It's so good. Like, we don't need filters.
Wow.
And it's like
natural spring water. When you go down there, you're there for a couple of weeks at a time. You're drinking that water. Do you feel your health change?
I was telling my wife, I say, why doesn't the coffee taste different?
Yeah.
If I have the coffee from Costa Rica, I never drink coffee from anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I bring the coffee. And I say, why is the coffee tasting different? And my daughter say, that is the water. Because it's so pure, then it tastes so much better.
I gotta go. You've been inviting me for so long. I know.
And now I just bought another one, another property a couple of years ago. It has 6 water springs.
Yeah, like, so much water. And water is so important. Mm-hmm. You're 98% water. You're like a walking pool.
We can start bottling this freaking water tomorrow if we want. Seriously, like. I'm telling you, we don't drink city water in my property.
I'm going to have to go. No. You have space for me to stay there on the
you
land?
You can stay right there with us. You know.
Then we have, we'll go. And then I want to stay out there for a couple of days to really drink the water, to really see. And
no, you got
to
stay at least a week.
Okay,
a couple of days is not, it's not enough.
Well, you heard that, Mom. I got to stay a week, so you're babysitting.
Yes, Mom. No, seriously. It changed your life. Like being there, like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I've heard a lot of good things. Yeah. There's some stem cell institutes that are out there, and I know that you've been talking about like us coming out there to create something like that. And I see like these mesenchymal white stem cells that are being distributed over there. I mean, they give results like PRP does, but you know, bringing our product, knowing that umbilical cord blood is so good and the results that it's rendered, like I want to bring that into all areas of the world because I mean that research is just amazing. So I would love to have institutes all over the place. It's just so much time consuming. Oh my God. Like I'm being pulled in so many directions with like so many partnerships and so many people just like, oh, well do this and partner with me here and supply here. You know, it's just the stem cell world is really going to take off. I mean, people are barely hearing about it. They barely know what it is. But like when they really realize that this is going to impact every single body part and like indication, like I'm talking about even dental, medical, the beauty, like everything veterinary. Like, I mean, it just works wonders in all these different areas. It's no longer like the studies are not there to prove that for, you know, ignorant physicians that are stating, you know, that it can't regrow bone or all this other stuff. Like there's hundreds of studies that are published now at this point. And if you guys want to look at the studies, you can go look them up. There's stem cell journals, there's health.pub and .med and many.
You don't need to convince me with the stem cells. I'm telling
you. Yeah, no, it's for the viewers because I think viewers are very like, does it work? Yeah. Is it snake oil? You know, you're living proof that like it gave you back, you know, and as an athlete, it gave you back so much. And it's just, it's very beautiful. God has definitely made a way and the doors just keep flying open.
It's God's will, but we got to do something. You know, he can put it in front of you, but if you don't.
No, well, he's put this in front of me. I don't know how many times. And you know already, like we got to do something with the water. Yeah. Jason, you know, is like, hey, you know, Frank says we got to go to Costa Rica. I'm like, I know he's been telling me. And so, yeah, I'll definitely make it a point by spring to head down and to go check it out, especially now that funding is coming in for the research to be allocated. I'm so thankful and excited and I'm just happy to be part of it. Like, obviously it was made for it, you know? I'm passionate about it. I love helping as much as I can, but I also know that it's like dropping down into the industry, even here within the United States. Like I love it. So now we're going to be having more on the podcast. We'll be having more scientists, doctors, providers that are, you know, talking about specific indications. But it's so crazy how everything just keeps going towards the sports side. It's like everything keeps going that way. It's like the boxers, the fighters, and they're really the ones that are like, you know, calling me up and blowing me up. And I'm like, oh my God.
We abuse our bodies. That's why.
They're like, open up the doors. I'm like, by appointment only.
No. It's true. But Raquel, going back to the stem cells and the test, it's amazing. I feel brand new. Seriously. I feel like in so many areas, I'm doing so much better. Like, thanks to you guys. You guys are amazing. And you guys, help us a lot. Not just me, with the guys sometimes. And they need help.
Well, I thank you. Yeah. And I look forward to our partnership and into furthering the network and how we're working in the community and all that stuff. I think that it's only going to get bigger. So I appreciate you coming on the Stem Cell Queen podcast. Oh, yeah. And I will see you around, in the parking lot, because that's where you come out. And it's like everybody sizes you up, man. Yeah. Like everybody sees you and they're like, man, this guy is so big. All my patients coming in are like, who is that guy? Well, thank you, Franklin, for coming on. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you for inviting me. Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.